jerk store called. They're running out of you.
Bring it in. I will only be checking somewhat satisfied on our comment card.
You know what really grinds my gears? Hug me!
For Alibi Vodka.
This is Bugs and Hugs.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Bugs and Hugs. 1-877-332-8255 is the magic number. You can text us on that number. You can phone us on that number and share whatever is on your mind. It could be something that's frustrating you. It's angering you. You're bugged. You want to share. Or maybe it's a hug you want to send out. A number of people sending out what I'm calling good vibes hugs to the Toronto Blue Jays. Oh, my gosh. How interesting are they making the end of the season? And I'm, I guess, putting it in a good way. Diehard Blue Jays fans have no nails left. So they won last night 6-1 over the Red Sox, which they need every win now. Yankees also won last night over Chicago. So that means Toronto and New York are still tied at the top of the AL East. Both have 3 games left. Blue Jays take on the Tampa Bay Rays today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Yankees take on Baltimore through the weekend. Blue Jays, of course, if they win more games over the weekend than the Yankees, then they will finish first, which means they get the bye past that first round. They go right into the playoffs, into that second round of the playoffs. They also possess the tiebreaker. So if it ends up that the Yankees and the Blue Jays are tied at the end of the regular season by Sunday, well, then the Yankees finish second because Toronto has the tiebreaker in that case. But a lot of people worried. I heard Jamie saying on the Green Zone yesterday, this is probably going to come down to Sunday's game. So it'll be interesting to see. Speaking of sports this weekend, I want to send a hug out to Gabby Senft, who is the lone Saskatchewan player athlete on the Canadian women's rugby team, who are in England taking part in the Women's Rugby World Cup final happening tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. our time. They're saying this is going to be a huge crowd. The largest crowd ever to watch a women's rugby game. And boy, there will be a lot. This has been the culmination of a 5-week World Cup tournament, smashed records for attendance, television ratings, hype. And with Canada in it, England, of course, is the top-ranked team going into this, and clearly the favorites. That's okay. Canada's been the underdog before, and our women's team is strong. So, game time tomorrow morning is 9:30. By the way, 9 o'clock is game time. They're expecting 3.3 million viewers to view this game. And there are watch parties set up. In fact, I just got notification of one that's happening tomorrow morning, a watch party set up at District Brewery in Regina. And the profits from this, they're taking donations at the door. Profits go to the Regina Food Bank. So 9 o'clock is a kickoff in the Women's Rugby World Cup. I think they're opening the doors at 8:30. They'll have a coffee and refreshments. And rumor has it after 9:30, beer will be available. So that's a typical rugby crowd, is it not? They like their beer, that rugby crowd. So that's tomorrow in Regina at District Brewery, but lots of different watch parties, I'm guessing, that will be happening in the province. And we certainly wish Team Canada Women's Rugby the best of luck. Would be great to see them bring home top prize in that one. Okay, 1-877-332-8255. My gosh, we have got a lot of people on the phone lines and the text lines. People got some bugs and hugs today. I like that. I like to see that. I'm going to start with Perry and Osler. How are you this Friday, Perry?
Oh, great.
Harvest done?
No.
Not yet.
Two-thirds done.
Two-thirds, okay. Well, that's pretty average. It sounds like the province, they're saying around 70%, so yeah. Pretty average. All right, what do you got for me, a bug or a hug today, Perry?
A bug. You know, all our companies in this country are struggling. I'll give you Canada Post as an example. Do they realize once that company's got to pay source deductions and the unemployment dues and everything, almost 50% of the income that they collect on postage goes straight to the government? And, you know, no one can survive under these conditions anymore in this country. And then they got slapped with the carbon tax. The heating and the extra money to fuel up all their vehicles every day of the week, and that just—I
think, though, Perry, do you think that the the challenges with the way postal services delivered in Canada go far beyond just the carbon tax. I mean, do you still mail letters, Perry?
Yeah, and you know what? And when Stephen Harper brought this up, he said, we're going to maybe have to look at restructuring this place so it can survive. And he was totally evil. He had to go. And right now the protesters and that are carrying little signs of hearts on them and everything and that, because the Liberal government's their friends, even though the Liberal government's one that's taken away half their money. So that's what I mean. This whole thing, everything that's going on in this country is bizarre.
Well, it's you're right in that it's not a new topic. Stephen Harper, we talked about that earlier. He signaled the fact that Canada Post was going to have to restructure. And Canada Post, let's remember, Canada Post is a crown corporation that should be self-sustaining. As a country, we've pumped, $1 billion last year into Canada Post? And I've seen reports that it could be as high as $1.5 billion this year, losing $10 million a day. So clearly, whether you call it subsidies or bailouts, I mean, that's not the way the Crown Corporation was set up. It was set up to be self-sustaining. It is anything but right now. So clearly, we need to make some changes. 1-877-332-8255. Now, this all, of course, is let's recognize Postal Service is important. I've seen a couple of people on the text line say, let's get rid of it altogether. I don't want to get rid of it. I do not want to get rid of the Postal Service. I am more than happy, though. I do not need it delivered to my home. I am more than happy to go to a super box, go to a centralized location. That's exactly what we did in rural Sask. Well, when I lived there, I mean, rural Sask still does that today. Many people, even in larger urban centers, have gone to the larger super boxes at the end of the street. Maybe, as it was indicated yesterday, mail delivery doesn't happen every single day. Maybe it happens every other day. And I've got a ton of friends who work in the post office. One of them recently retired. I've talked about him a few times. So this is an important part of our fabric. We can't get rid of it, but where's the balance? Don't forget, on Monday, we're going to have a union president from the Canadian Union of Postal Workers on the program. We'll have a labor lawyer on the program, and we'll see where things are at. I mean, there's a possibility by Monday there's been a development that stops the strike, but it's possible that it is still going on as well. In fact, let's stay on the topic of the postal strike. I want to bring Lloyd into the conversation from PA. In fact, Lloyd, you've got a hug this morning.
Yes, one of each.
Go. What do you got for me?
Just like to give a hug to the posties walking the line. Nobody's really going to win here, but let's just get this settled so everybody can get back to work.
Okay.
And my bug is for the Liberal government again recently. A couple weeks ago, again, they gave millions of dollars to the CBC, and then when Mark Carney was asked, well, how many people watch CBC Gem? He had no answer.
Yeah.
So nobody, let's just dump the CBC. Like, how many people actually watch it? I would say maybe 15%, maybe.
Hi. And is there a way, I mean, we were just talking about Canada Post, it should be a self-sustaining crown corporation. I mean, is there not a way that you could maintain the CBC, but allow it to sustain itself? Why does it have to be subsidized, which is something that lots of people will bring up, and Lloyd is just the most recent to do that. 1-877-332-8255. It's a busy Friday morning. That's an indication that people have something on their mind, which is good. That's what this program is all about. And I'm going to bring Bonnie from Wadena on the show right now. How are you today, Bonnie?
I'm just great, thanks.
Good. Well, thanks for calling in. A bug or a hug today, my friend?
I got a big hug for you, Evan, and Frank, and all the radio station that gives us a voice out here. So thank you.
Well, we're always happy to have you on the program. But I also know you well enough, Bonnie. There's got to be a bug in there somewhere.
Yeah, I got a pretty big concern about the parliamentary budget officer. He come out and he predicted a deficit to rise to $68.5 billion.
Yeah, I know.
And he said, I think everybody should be concerned. It's a really serious day, is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that Canada has to wake up. Carney is simply window dressing. Everything in the window looks great. But when you step inside the store, you see that there's nothing there that they're advertising. Carney has said that Canada will be the most prosperous country. And yet, on Tuesday, they had an opposition motion. The Conservatives had asked to repeal the oil and gas emissions cap.
That's right.
And they were the only ones, the Conservatives were the only ones that voted for it. So I'm saying that when this budget comes out on November 4th, Canada, we need to realize this and we need to look and we need to vote in a Conservative majority government or we will be a bankrupt country in no short order.
Always appreciate your call, Bonnie. Thank you so much for calling in. 1-877-332-8255. Bugs and Hugs continues. We'll go to Christopher Lake, Saskatchewan. Larry is on the line. How are you today?
Doing real good, Evan. How about you?
Not too bad. What do you got for me on this Friday?
You know, I've got a tale of two countries. I had the opportunity to go down to Glasgow, Montana.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weekends ago. And I'll tell you, that was such a throwback to 1970 Saskatchewan, you would be amazed.
In what way?
Well, I'll give you the whole trip. For starters, I headed down. I got met at the American border by three border guards, all armed, all physically fit, trim, uniformed to a T. A good example of guardians of a border crossing. And no issues whatsoever, I headed on down. Once I got down there, it was discovered that one of their claims to fame is that they are 3 hours from the closest Walmart, and that when Walmart tried to set up there, they refused to give them access. They said, why would we bugger up our community by bringing you in? Another point, I played music in a Montana bar down there. I walked down the street, basically Main Street, and of the vehicles that were on the street, three-quarters of them were unlocked. Many of them had the windows open, and the odd one had a rifle hanging in the gun rack. There were just no issues with that kind of thing down there whatsoever. People were friendly. There was none of this elbows up or whatever, that kind of a stuff. It was just kind of felt like being back in 1970 Saskatchewan.
Yeah. You're painting a picture that I'm picturing 1977, Larry, for sure.
And one more point coming back, and I don't want to pick on anybody individually, but coming back into Canada really kind of told the tale of the two countries. I got to the stop sign, nobody around, clearing customs. I inched ahead a little bit to figure, like, well, maybe they haven't seen me or whatever. A lady comes out just incredibly indignant that I wasn't still stopped at the stop sign. Her uniform probably fit 40 pounds ago. She did not have enough English that she could communicate adequately with me to figure out exactly what she was wanting. She ended up having to repeat questions and pronouncing words that were weird. And I kind of looked at that situation as opposed to going south and now I'm coming north. And, you know, that's a different kind of guardian at the border.
It's, you've definitely painted a picture for us, Larry. I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for your thoughts during Bugs and Hugs. 1-877-332-8255. Let's take a break, and we will be back. More of your calls, your texts, right up until 11 o'clock this morning on Bugs and Hugs here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Woo! Come on, everybody, give it up!
Why don't you do the world a favor and pull your lip over your head and swallow?
Are you crying? There's no crying! There's no crying in baseball!
Because they're all good kids, until dried-out, brain-dead skags like you drag them down and convince them they're no good.
I love it.
This is Bugs and Hugs.
For Alibi Vodka.
Sheldon in Saskatchewan with a text that says, Evan, it's a wonderful week, and he's sending out a hug. The road crews have been out a new bridge on Highway 10 between Fort Qu'Appelle and Bellecaresse. It's been repaved. You now don't spill your coffee when you drive across it. Thanks, Sheldon. 1-877-332-8255. Wes in Humboldt with a couple of bugs. He's bugged by the media coverage regarding Tylenol and how everyone was down on Donald Trump. He says, check the CBC News article from 2020 regarding Tylenol. I know I've seen it floating around talking about... I think it was a warning to pregnant women or something. I saw that someone forwarded the CBC News article. I saw that come across my feed. Also, Wes is saying, I'm bugged with the whole ostrich situation. Why is government refusing to test to determine whether the remaining herd has immunity to the avian flu or prove they are still infected? I have not said the word, read the word, heard the word ostrich more times in my life than I have in the last couple of weeks. Boy, people are up in arms about the ostrich situation in BC. We chatted a bit about that yesterday. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. I'm going to grab Cal from Oxbow to start us off. Cal, bug today? What is it, my friend?
Well, I will get to a hug a little bit, Evan, just a little bit later, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'm bugged by a few things. I mean, first of all, I'm bugged by Carney and his recognizing Palestine. I mean, he might as well recognize Santa. We have zero international influence, so it makes no difference what he says.
Yeah.
And it's terrible, and it's terrible timing with the U.S. Regardless of your feelings with the U.S., this does not help us in our negotiations. They're just going to continue to take our oil at a discount and sell it for a profit. And then when Kuzma comes up, we're going to have also have zero leverage when it comes to those meetings as well. And then if I continue with this theme of zero, Evan, the whole gun grab thing, we know that this is going to have zero impact on crime, and yet they're pushing forward with it. Now, my hug goes out to you for having our little discussion between Gormley and Doug yesterday. I love that kind of thing. You get to see both sides.
Yep.
So that is awesome. But I was bugged at the end by the grade. I mean, this to me just demonstrates sort of the liberal sycophants that can't even, they take zero accountability for any failures over the last 10 years. You can't give Carney an A for what's going on. I don't think you could give any leader, even if Polyev was in as prime minister, how do you fix this and get an A? So
he said A, Doug said A, John said C. What would you say?
Carney?
Yeah.
He's definitely a C because the few of the things that he has done are so minuscule. I mean, he's got to get rid of all of these restrictions that we have in our country. Open up the nation, allow our private industry to get moving, and he wouldn't have these problems.
When you're talking restrictions, I'm assuming you're talking policies, regulations around energy production.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Cal, we're up against the clock, so I've got to say goodbye for now, but thank you so much for calling in. I've still got Nicole, Paul, Les on the line. Thank you for your patience. I hope you're not going to go anywhere. We're taking another break. When we come back, we will get to your calls. I'm going to dive back into the text messages. Bugs and Hugs continues until 11 o'clock right here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Super duper!
That's nice!
That's awesome!
Way to go! Neato, gang!
Oh, that is you coward son of
a! I just want to give you a big hug.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
This is Bugs and Hugs.
For Alibi Vodka.
Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. 1-877-332-8255. As we continue on with Bugs and Hugs, there's a ton of texts coming in, and lots of them still focusing on the issues we were talking about in the first hour of the show, including the union striking for the Canada Post workers. I got a text from a member who wants to be anonymous. He says he has three family members who are postal workers, and they are frustrated with their own union. This texter, again anonymous, says, I believe the union is getting exactly what it deserves with these changes. The union is part of the problem. Anonymous texter, but says he has three family members that work for the post office. Ross in Warman, bugged by people that want to hang on to the door-to-door mail delivery. If you want that, you should pay for it. That might change your tune. I think there's a lot of people. I feel like a lot of people that I talk to, me included, would gladly give it up. We can go to a mailbox. We can go to a more centralized location. And maybe it doesn't have to be every day. Like maybe mail delivery can happen every other day or changes that way, the frequency of the delivery. Lots of people weighing in on the postal situation online. 1-877-332-8255 is the phone number. I'm going to go now to Nicole. Nicole is waiting patiently from Swift Current. And I love it when people have a hug because there's some great stuff going on in this province. And Nicole, you've got a great example. What have you got for me?
I'd like to give a hug to Dr. Sabina Khan. She moved to Ontario to be with her family, but she comes back 1 week a month so that the breast health clinic in Swift Current can stay open. Unless there's a radiologist on and in the building, they can't do mammograms.
Wow. So she comes back from Ontario for 1 week a month to Swift Current.
Yes.
Wow.
Women in this, in Saskatchewan and the Southwest, be able to look after their breast health.
That is so awesome. So Dr. Sabina Khan, right, Nicole?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's a beautiful hug. I appreciate you sending it out today. Thanks so much for calling in. Let's go to Paul in Saskatoon. A bug. What is it, my friend?
Well, I got it against the Liberal Party. Carney there. The guy, he's... Okay. Here's my point. Saskatchewan, we have to get together with Alberta and do this Wexit thing. We have no say on what's happening in this country. You've got Carney, who's put a tariff on electric vehicles now. Who cares? If I want a Chinese electric vehicle, I should be able to buy one. And what he's done is now China, they don't want any of our products, which they were one of our largest trading partners. This is getting ridiculous. He doesn't care about Saskatchewan. We are a cash cow for the East, and we have absolutely no say. So if we amalgamate with Alberta, at least we have some voting power here and try to get a conservative electorate running our country.
Paul, I appreciate the call. I can feel the bug in your voice. You know, I was just talking with a friend of mine in Alberta the other day on the phone, and I asked him, I said, you know, for a while there was a real push for this whole break free from Canada. I mean, we saw Danielle Smith going around the province as premier, holding town halls. I asked him where that was at. He says, honestly, it feels like it's died down. It feels like Premier Smith has poured some cold water on that, just by virtue of the fact that she's had some positive comments or at least asked Albertans to exercise patience when it comes to the federal government. She said she feels as though Mark Carney gets it and wants to work together to try and find some solutions. So it's interesting to see a little bit of change in tone from Alberta Premier Danielle Smith. Now, to the point that we just heard from Paul, I mean, I know there are still some people that are saying, enough's enough. We got to go. We got to break free from Canada. But it feels as if that has subsided a little bit. I appreciate the patience of some people like my next caller, Les, who has been waiting patiently. We've had so many calls today. Les, let me start off by asking you a question if I can, because I know when the CFL rule changes came out, you were bugged. You were the first caller I heard on the Green Zone. Now you've had the better part of a week to let it sink in. Are you less bugged?
Not at all.
You still don't like it?
Not at all. The heritage of the football game, Canadian football game, is gone now.
Well, we'll see. I'm curious to talk to Belton about it today. I heard him very briefly on the morning show this morning, but I'll be asking him his thoughts. But I know that's not what you called in for. What's your bug today, Les?
I got a bug and a quick hug.
Sure.
The bug, Mark Carney, 3 weeks ago was in Europe. And then he went to Mexico. And then he flew back to the U.N. Now, where is he? Down in Britain again. This guy getting paid air miles, or what's going on? He's got Britain collapsing, France collapsing, and he's more worried about the European countries down there than he is in the Canadian economy that's collapsing. Now, the hug is to Donald Trump coming out at the U.N. and telling them, plain and simple, the big green scam that they're falling into or fell into some countries, it's a joke. It's a money laundering scheme in the U.N. It's nothing more than a money laundering outfit. And Carney decides to dump $400 million down there for what? Gender equality or something? I don't know. But he's got a $400 million that he could have put into a hospital or something in Canada, and he's not worried about the Canadian economy at all.
So you took us on a journey of your bug to a hug, back to your original bug again. I like how you did that, Les. By the way, speaking of the UN, if you were watching this morning, Benjamin Netanyahu was speaking to the 80th session of the United Nations General Assembly this morning. As he walked in, tons of people walked out of the room. It was quite something to see. If you get a chance to even see a video of it or a picture of it, I mean, there were a lot of empty seats. And even the countries who had representatives there who didn't leave, many pointed out that they weren't necessarily, well, they called them junior low-level diplomats. So it wasn't senior officials. It wasn't the UN ambassador that was in the room. But nonetheless, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke this morning. He called Canada's decision to recognize a Palestinian state a mark of shame during his address. Of course, we know leaders from France, Britain, Australia, Canada, and a few other countries unconditionally recognize the Palestinian state. And he accuses those nations of encouraging terrorism against Jews. So the divide deepens, and we talked about this earlier yesterday on the show too. I really question the timing of doing that at this point for a lot of different reasons, but I digress. It's not my bugs and hugs, it's yours, and I want to keep going here. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Ryan. I think he's next up here from Regina. Ryan, what have you got for me on bugs and hugs today?
Well, actually, I don't know how many people are aware, but under the dithering Trudeau leadership that we had for 10 long years, we had two Christmas strikes by the Canadian Postal Network. Now we're going through a third strike. And would like to mention to all listeners that the last time USPS had a full-scale walkout was in 1970.
Wow. I didn't know that stat. That was the last time they had a labor dispute.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, I accepted the first Christmas strike, but then to do a copycat a few years later, and the Liberal government not doing a damn thing, now we're going through a third strike? Like they're digging their own grave. And, you know, I think I think postal workers should be listening and understanding what Canadians are thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just to me is so, so painfully obvious that we need a change in our postal service delivery model. The model's broken. The model can't survive today, 2025, 2026, the same as it has for the over a century that this has been in operation in Canada. Yes, there's lots of history. Yes, we have pride in our country. Yes, we need a federal postal service, but it doesn't mean you can't adapt to change. And boy, the world has changed in so many ways. That's coming through loud and clear on the text line as well. Another caller, or should I? Yeah, I'll take one more quick caller here before we take our next break. I'll grab Larry here in Saskatoon. Larry, how are you today?
Good. I have a hug for that other Larry who called in.
Larry hugging Larry.
Yeah.
Did you like about what Larry said?
Well, you know, there's an international association of Larrys. You may have
I didn't know that.
Be aware of it, but
didn't know that.
The most famous member, Larry of Arabia.
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
Uh-huh. So what Larry did is remind us of how we used to be not that long ago. And that's an ideal that I think we could re-achieve that. We could have a revival in our own values and our own culture. And then the part that was really humorous when he compared the two border guards, Canada versus the U.S. And so we have to, how do we do this? Well, I guess if we vote for independence, we can renegotiate our own values and have control over that within our province.
Do you think that's a real possibility, though? Like, real possibility, Larry?
I don't think we have a choice, or we're going to turn into, well, what the Liberal government has us on a path that is destroying our culture, or everything about us, our economy, our political system. We have privileges now. We don't have constitutional rights, which is our inheritance of British common law.
It does seem like I was sorry. I was just going to say, Larry, it does seem like we've got a bit more. Well, we've got amped up division in the country, and yet I feel like that's the way the world is right now. Look at the States. I mean, gosh, the States are literally divided into two halves. Very few people in the middle. In Canada, certainly from the vocal ones that you hear, it's divided into two halves. I feel like there's more people in the middle in Canada wanting to find a way, to find a solution to some of these problems. But nonetheless, Larry, I appreciate your call. By the way, I was going to jump on and say this after we had the conversation about the border security officers. I know I've worked with a ton of CBSA officers. So the experience that Larry had when he went down to the States and who he encountered going down, who he encountered going up. I mean, you could probably say that for most professions, but I don't want to just categorize. We've got a lot of very strong CBSA workers that work in Canada, and I think are probably being limited in what they can do. When we hear the number of, for example, CCANs that are being searched, that are coming through our ports, is less than 1%. That's got a lot to do with resources that are put into it, the priority that's put into it. So strengthening our border isn't just about the men and women that are doing the work. It's about making sure that we've got the priority set there so they can do their job properly. So I just want to make sure that this, to me, I don't want this to be a dump on CBSA. I think they are doing their best, but we clearly have room to shore up some of the border security that we do in this country. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back and finish up Bugs and Hugs here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You're the best friends anybody ever had.
Well, the jerk store called. They're running out of you.
Bring it in. I will only be checking somewhat satisfied on our comment card.
You know what really grinds my gears? Bug me!
For Alibi Vodka.
This is Bugs and Hugs.
I want to go to the text line quickly. There's a few texts I wanted to read. Curtis in Saskatoon says, so a number of wildlife management zones along the east border of the province have been shut down when it comes to moose hunting. They want to improve the population of moose in that part of the province. He goes on to say indigenous hunting for sustenance will be allowed. He's bugged. If the case is that they want to improve the population of moose, they should shut it down for everyone. They've been able to do that in Manitoba. He goes on to say, honestly, many hunters' main reason to hunt moose is for food, not for trophy. It's time we managed by science, not politics. Thanks for the bug. Hug coming from Sandy and Lurley wants to send a hug out to Andrew on the Firsters Fruit Truck. Serves Melville and Fort Capel. Andrew, always cheerful, makes the person want to return the next week to shop for top quality fruit. Thanks for the hug, Sandy. 1-877-332-8255. I'm chuckling here because Tim in Prince Albert said, hey, I like Larry's Montana story, but I'd like to know, how did he determine that 3 out of 4 vehicles weren't locked on the street? Was he flipping handles? Were you checking vehicles, Larry, as you went by? Thanks for the text, Tim. 1-877-332-8255. I got time for one more call. I'm going to grab Aaron's call here. What do you got for me today on Bugs and Hugs, Aaron?
Good morning, Evan. I was telling your call screener, you've got Loomis, you've got Canpar, you've got FedEx, you've got DHL, you've got UPS, and all these other private carriers. They're all making money. How is it that our post office, with a guaranteed monopoly of mail and the high cost of a letter, can't operate in the black?
So you're asking a question I wish I had the answer to, but clearly the service model's broken.
Well, there's obviously something seriously wrong. I mean, it's every so many years they're going on strike. They need money.
So are you a person that supports an overhaul of the postal system, or do you think we should maybe get rid of it altogether?
It's getting to that point because there's other options. You've got email, Gmail, you've got all these other carriers that can do letters and parcels. I bet you one of those companies would just love to get a hold of the mail.
For sure they would. The problem is servicing the rural and remote areas tends to be the problem, and I don't want to forget that. So many people on the text line saying, you know what, I've been driving. I had one text here. I won't find it quickly, but he said he's 70 years old, and he's been driving. Here it is, Bruce and Bigger. I don't understand all the people upset that they have to get their mail at a community box setup. I'm in my 70s and I drive 32 kilometers to get my mail. Bruce in Bigger. So there are lots of people proving that it can be done, but it's going to require an overhaul. This conversation is not done. Canada Post, we will talk about it. I mentioned we have a union member and a labor lawyer joining us on Monday morning. So depending on what happens through the weekend, we could see some twists and turns, but we will continue the conversation then. Belton Johnson coming up next here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.